Okay, so we're on Daf Tet today, but I'm going to just go back and review briefly the Mishnah on Chaf Tet of an Aleph, and then we'll go bottom, on the bottom of Chaf Tet of Beis. So let's go over the Mishnah from yesterday. So on Chaf Tet of an Aleph 28a, the Mishnah says, "Amar lahem hamuna." The muna, the he quotes it here as the administrator, but it means the Skan Kohen Gadol, like the sort of deputy Kohen Gadol, would say. It says, "Suru imigiz mana shchita." He'd say, go out, he would tell the Kohanim, go out and see, is it time to do Shechita yet? Shechita can't be done before dawn. So he says, so if it means Kohanim would go on the top of a roof, on the top of the wall, Rashi says, so if the time has arrived, the one who would see dawn would say, Bar Koi, it's dawn, it's a new day. Says Mati ben Shmuel Omer, the year Pnei Kol Mizra. Now there's different ways to understand this line, but simple shot, Mati ben Shmuel says that the person would say, "Hey, year call Pnei Hamizra." The entire horizon is a light on the whole horizon. He says, and then they would say Ad Shebechavron. I mean, is like as you're looking out, obviously you're in the base of Mikdash, you're seeing the horizon. So when you're lining up Chevron is more to the south. So as it lit up. There was obviously the horizon lights up first due east, and then it makes more to the north and south. So he says, "Ad shebechevron u'omer heim," and he says, "Yeah, up until Chevron." Now, some want to say that Matya ben Shmuel was not a Tana of the Mishnah. Matya ben Shmuel was himself the Mamuna on the one that was appointed in the Beis Hamikdash over all these things, and he would say. A year Pnei Kol Mizra to the Chevron. He would ask, as the whole, eastern side lit up till Chevron. But either way, Vomer Heim. Why do they have to go through this whole thing? Look, everybody's standing there. It's an open air situation. Why do they need somebody to go on the roof to look the whole Zach? He says, Shapamachat Alama Or Halavana. Once, now there's moonrise also. So it means that the moon was below the horizon. And the moon was like lighting up the eastern, the eastern horizon. He says, "V'dimu sheyir mizrach." They thought it's the sun. The shachatuta tamid goes through the beit asreifah. So based on that, they shech the korban tamid, and then they ended up having to bring the beit asreifah because it was too early. Then the mishnah continues, "Horidu kohen gadol the beit hatfila." So going to the again, it's going to come out back to the maaseh with Yom Kippur. So the kohen gadol has to do a series of tefillah there before he can shech the korban tamid. He has to immerse himself, and they would bring him there. So that call of Mikdash, now the Tana adds on, by the way, the call of Mikdash was, Mesach means to cover one's feet, but it's a nice way euphemistically of saying you have a bowel movement, you need tefillah and a mikvah. If you pass water, you need to wash your hands and your feet. Okay, so that's yesterday's Gemara. Let's go now to Chaf Tet Amud Beis. We'll go five lines to the bottom. 28b, let me just see if everybody's here. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, he said, why did they have to go through this whole, situation with checking on the roof to see if the horizon lit up? Because once they made a mistake with the moon. So the Gemara says, could one really make a mistake between moonrise and sunrise? He says, Tanya, we learned the Brisa, Rebbe Omer, Eino Dona Timur Shalavana, the Timur Shalchama. Rebbe says, like, the light of the moon is totally different than the light of the sun. He says, Timur Shalavana Metamir Va'ola Kamakel. A shaft of moonlight goes like a rod, like a stick. He says, Timur Shalavana Mavtila Kanakan, where the sunlight is more diffuse. It's like all over the place. So he says, so Tana de Bevi Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Ha'unan Haya, so Bryce was taught in the basement of Rabbi Shmuel said it happened to be on that day that they made a mistake with the moon. It was a very cloudy day. And under those circumstances, even the moonlight is like diffuse. In other words, it's coming out in different locations. And it's breaking through the clouds. So Amara Papa Shmamina, the Papa says one could deduce from this whole incident, Yoma De'iva Kula Shimsha. He says that when it's a cloudy day, Kula Shimsha, so I'll explain the way Rashi has it. Rashi says, Kula Shimsha, that on a cloudy day, he once said the sunlight goes even places where it normally doesn't go. Like even places that are normally shady, they get the sunlight because the sunlight like breaches out like from all these different through the clouds. I'll explain in a minute. He says, "Lamai nafkamina, what's the nafkamina to knowing that?" Well, it was interesting, but we're not here to learn a climatology class. L'shetuchei orod. So one would be if a person wants to, you know, leave hides to dry out. So on a day like that, any place would be good for it because it would dry out in all locations, even a place that would normally be shady. Inami l'chadars rava, or it's necessary for that which Rava darshan in reference to Pesach. So a woman during Pesach should not knead the dough in the sun. You know, the heat, you know, accelerates the chimus process. You know, chametz you don't want to have on Pesach, so she shouldn't do it in the sun. And she shouldn't do it in places with water that's been heated by the sun. Chametama is water that's been heated by the sun. So the point being that if it's one of these a cloudy day, the Gemara is saying that even in place that would normally be shady. So the woman shouldn't need the dough there. Now, it was difficult for me to understand this because normally, you know, it seems like shady doesn't seem like it would be like more sun. It seems like less sun with the shady. So I spoke to some of the base medrash, Rabbi Ike Sultan. He thought that it meant like for shady, think humid. In other words, hot and humid, that it's like a very hot, humid day. In other words, in Eretz Israel, maybe like they don't have so many clouds. So they get clouds. It could be a humid day. So it's a hot and humid day, you can hear everything is hot all over the place. And then maybe, the Pshat, the Gemara, seems a little bit more straightforward. Let me just do a few more lines, and then I will pause, okay? So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom, Amar of Nachman, Zuma de Shimsha, Kashi mi Shimsha. So here, Zuma de Shimsha, Rashi says, Oto chom shel yamim unan, and this seems to, you know, corroborate that Pshat that this Rabbi Sultan was saying. Like if it's a hot, humid day, a hot, sultry day, that's more difficult to deal with than direct sun. In other words, like hot, humid day is more difficult than the sun. The siman, to remember that, is dana dechala, means like a casket with vinegar. So the way the Gemara takes it is, let's say it's cloudy, and then there's a break in the clouds, and the sun comes through, like it's more difficult to deal with that little shaft of sun. So he says it's like this jug of vinegar. If I pierce the jug, like I get this like strong odor of the vinegar comes out. So the same way the Gemara is saying, like the sky is like the sun is building up behind it. Like you get a break in the clouds. Now, you know, it's difficult to deal with. That's what the Gemara takes it. Zuma de Shimsha. So he says, Shavrire de Shimsha, Kashumi Shimsha. He says that the blinding light from the sun that's coming through the clouds is more difficult than direct sunlight without clouds. In other words, everything with the clouds is much more difficult. That's what he's saying. The siman to remember that is built for like dripping water. Like if a person has water dripping on them, that's more, you know, painful than like immersing yourself in the water. So if there's no clouds, it's like immersing yourself in the water. But with the break in the clouds, so I have direct sunlight, that's more difficult. All right, then. The top line on a Chav Tenem Rav, 29A, the top line. So just give me two more minutes and I'll pause. He says, here, Hurei Aveira, Kashume Aveira. So now when Gemara mentions Aveira, it usually means like for in a sexual sense here too as well. Like thinking about like, you know, illicit relations is more difficult, more harmful than the Aveira itself. Now, the way, it doesn't mean that doing the Aveira is less significant than actually thinking about the Aveira. If a person thinks about adultery, does Aveira, the adultery, obviously doing it is worse. But it means, if you look in Rashi, Yerhurei Aveira, Tavat Nashim Kashim Lachisha Pesaro, you'll hear me do for Shomaisa. He wants to say the way Rashi takes it is like the thought, maybe say the finding a way for it, is more harmful to one's body than the actual Aveira itself. In other words, a person, he keeps, you know, thinking about this is what I thought too. It's more harmful. There's another pshat though that he has here from the Rambam, and this Rabbi Ike Sultan mentioned this to me as well. The Rambam explains that a person who sins in thought has sinned with his intellect, mashava, which is the most distinguished part of a person, is comparable to the severity of a distinguished officer of one's mind rebelling against the king, as opposed to a simple slave, the body rebelling against the king. It means that I'm using l'machshava, it was my like talk machshava, you know, against Hashem, and that's worse than the aver itself. That's the, you know, when I do it, it's like a gufo, but I'm like machshava. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, and I will pause. He says here, the siman to remember that is reichat debisra, means the aroma. If I smell meat, and I don't eat the meat. So that the way Rashi will take it, that's harmful to me, that I like I'm pining away from this meat. The same thing like with the sex. Shilai the kaita, the end of the summer is kashmi kaita. It's more difficult than the summer itself, meaning from the heat, everybody gets worn out. So here, like I know in New York, like August, you know, August is not hotter than July. July is hotter than August, but everybody feels like August is like impossible because they've already been through this whole summer. The siman to remember that is tanur shadira. Tanurishkir means like a heated oven. In other words, the oven's been heated. It doesn't take much to heat it up more. It's so everything's been so hot for the summer. It's like we've had it. If to the sitfam, a winter fever is kashmi dekaita. It's worse than a summer fever. The simanah tanura kriva. The siman for that is like a cold oven. In other words, a cold oven, I need a lot of wood to heat up the oven. So the Gemara figures if a person has a fever in the winter, so I need a lot of illness to get them there, and some of that's horrible. And then Migmar Ba'atikta Kasha Mechadato. To study, when a person studies something that he's studied in the past, means that which was old, that's more difficult than studying something new. So let's look at Rashi on that. Migmar Ba'atikta, around the 10th narrow line in Rashi, Kasha Mechadato, Mishlamad B'siyachta Tavushachach. Person studied and then like he wandered away, you know, to be days, months, years, then he forgot his learning. It's more difficult to get it back than something you didn't study at all. So I saw one shot, they quoted in the Mississippi Gemara, they quoted from the Mishnah Eliyahu. They said it means that when a person has learned something once, you know, like he doesn't devote himself too much later. In other words, like he learned it 20 years ago and he comes back, you know, I did this already. So like, he doesn't. But somebody new, I don't know this, I got to study, I put my perspiration into it. But in Achinami, if he would devote himself to it, then in Achinami, that would be good. All right, one second, with Simanah, the Siman to remember that is Tina Bar Tina. It means, like, when I'm making, like, a cement or a clay from a site, like, if you look at Rashi, Tichu Goblono told me, Tichu Homer Kotel Yashan, if I'm creating cement from, like, pieces of cement, old cement, that's harder to need in turn. Does he say cement? How does he translate here? He says, one second, let's take a look. He says, cement made from old cement. Right. So I'm using old cement. It's harder to put everything together than otherwise. All right. Who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good on the cyber world? Everybody's good? Okay. So let me go back. Let me say a little piece here. all right. So I mentioned about like sinning with the thought. So poskim, this is from the Aladah. Poskim disagree regarding the guidelines of the prohibition of sinning in thought. In the opinion of some poskim, prohibition is violated only if the person intends to think improper thoughts, or if he puts himself into a circumstance where he will be led to improper thoughts. In other words, when am I held responsible for thinking like these illicit thoughts? So is it only when I prompt myself to think of these things, you know? He says, on the other hand, thoughts that enter into a person's mind on their own and are immediately dismissed do not violate this prohibition. The Torah was not given to angels. The Torah wasn't given to Malach HaShari. It is, according to this position, pious and holy to make an effort to restrain even these random thoughts. According to others, even thoughts that enter a person's mind unintentionally violate the halacha. According to all opinions, one is prohibited to engage in an activity which may lead him to improper thoughts. Even if it is likely that a person will not be aroused to have improper thoughts, is prohibited to walk by a place where women are improperly dressed according to standards of tzniut. The exception to this restriction is if a person needs to travel, i.e. for work or some other necessary purpose, there's no other way to travel. Okay, that's that piece. All right, he says a piece here on Hirui Avera. Maybe we'll do this at the end, a little story. All right, okay. Everybody good? Aaron Moshe, you good? Everybody good? Okay, so moving on. All right. Second. All right. So I'm on Chaf Tet Amud Aleph, and we're around the sixth line from the top. I'm Rabbi Abahu, where Abahu says, "My comment to Rebbe." So Rebbe had said that the light gets Timur Shel Kamafia, and it was Rebbe says that sunlight is very diffuse. Sunlight is very diffuse. So what does Rebbe base that on? So he says, "Zechiv Lamanatzelach Lamasech Al Yoda Shakar." He says, it's like, this is a parak in Tehillim. This is like to the choir master, Al Ayal Rashachar. So an Ayal is a hind, H-I-N-D. It's like an animal, like a deer. He says, Al Ayal Rashachar, in other words, it sounds like the morning hind. So he says, Ma Ayalazu Pranemaslo, the Khan of the Khan, just like an Ayalah. And Rashi says Ayalah would be a female hind, but it's really like the male hind is the one with the antlers. But its antlers, they spread out here, you know, on all sides. In other words, like the antlers grow, and it's like a plant, you know, like it spreads all over the place. Shachar zem atzila kan l'kan. So too, the shachar spreads diffused all over the place. So at least that's a pasuk that lends support to what Rebbe was saying. So I'm a Rebbe Zera, laman shla Esther la ayala. Now Zera says, now this parak in Tehillim was said by Esther in from Megillat Rut. Esther Amalka said it. And Rashi brings down, where is it? He says, yeah. So if you look at the Rashi, it's around midway down the narrow lines. Lamin Rishla Esther Ka Ayelet, but Sakha Megillat Rinan, the Esther Amram is more Zeh, Kavan Shigila, Betaslan, and Nistal Kavan Shigina Amra, Kili Kavan Lam Zaptani. That Esther recited this Parakin Tehillim, I think, before she was going to meet with Ahasuerus. And so we got to the Beit Atzlamim where all the idols were, like the Shekhinah left her, and she says, Keli, Keli, Lama Zapani. So, and that's a pasuk in Tehillim, or words from Tehillim. So he says, Am Zer, Lama Shla Esther Layala, back in the Gemara, why is Esther compared to an Ayala? He says, Lomar Lacha, Mayala Rachma Tsar, Vachavita Abala. Just like the Ayala, her womb is narrow, and the husband, the male, Ayal Hain light there called Shah the Shah, Sharishona, who is Af Esther, Ahasuerus called Shah of Shah, Sharishona. So to Esther was, you know, beloved by Ahasuerus constantly. So Amar Avasi, Lamanim Shla Esther the Shachar. Why is Esther compared to the Shachar, to the morning? Lamar Lacha Mash Shachar, Sokhula Laila, just like the Shachar is the end of the whole evening, Af Esther, Sokhula Nisin. So to Esther is the end of all miracles. In other words, that you know, we're on Kaf Tet Amud Aleph 29A, around 10 lines down. Okay, so Af Esther is so cool on Yisim. So Gemara says, "What Chanukah? What do you mean? But Chanukah we had an ace, so we have miracles after that." So the Gemara says, "Nitna l'chov taimina." I mean, Nisim that you could write and were added to the, you know, to the canon, to the Tanakh. In other words, the last miracle that occurs chronologically and that was recorded and made part of our Tanakh is Esther. He says, Hanich Laman Damar Esther Nit Nalakhtov, Laman Damar Esther Lo Nit Nalakhtov, Maikla Neymar. So as far as that works well, according to the opinion that Esther is indeed part of our Tanakh, but there's an opinion that holds not this way. And Rashi brings down this Machlokin and Mesechim Megillon Dav Zion. If it's part of the Tanakh, then it's metame the adayim. The hands become tame. So the way I recall it is metame the adayim because they didn't want people to keep the truma near it, so they decreed tuma on kippei hakodesh. So if it's metame the adayim, it means it's part of the kippei hakodesh. Otherwise, not. So it's machloket whether it is metame the adayim or not. So if I hold that es is metame the adayim is part of Tanakh, so then I understand Lamasech al Yel and Hashachar, it's talking about Esther, so Esther is compared to the Shachar is the end of the Nisim, and so forth, to the ninth thing. But if it's not, so how will we explain the Pasuk? Elamantamar Esther, loaded up to Michael Neymar, Salukim La, Rabbin Yamin Bar Yefet. So that opinion would say it follows like Rabbin Yamin Bar Yefet, Amr Blazar. The Amr Ben Yamin Bar Yefet, Amr Blazar, Laman Shlutz Gila Tan Stikim Ka Yelet. So here he's saying, Ala Yelet HaShachar, See, the first way we're saying Ayelet is a hind, but we're saying that Esther is compared to a hind. And Ayelet HaShachar is Esther is like the Shachar because it's the end of all the Nisan. This pshat we're saying, Rav Lazar says, Lamad feel conscious of Deacon Laka Ayelet, that Ayelet HaShachar, Shachar refers to the Tfilah. In other words, Shachar means Tfilah. Shachar means Tfilah. And it says Ayelet HaShachar, like the tefillot or tzaddikim are compared to a hind. How so? Lamar lecha, ma'ayala zukos manshin agadela kardem ha'afsilot. Just like an ayala, as long as it continues to grow, its antlers get larger and larger. Af tzaddikim kos manshin agadela kardem ha'afsilot to the tanishman. So to tzaddikim, the more they increase their tefillah, the tefillah gets stronger as they're increasing. As you're saying, more tefillah gets stronger. And it's harder, it's more likely that it'll be successful, that tefillah. So Lamaseach HaYelet HaShachar means, like, it's talking about tefillah for tzaddikim. So one shot HaYelet HaShachar, talking about Esther, and she's like the soap of the Nisim that are going to be part of Tanakh, and that's HaShachar is the end of the evening. Shachar could be like the morning star, could be Shachar. And the other is Lamaseach HaYelet HaShachar, Shachar could be tefillah. And tefillah of tzaddikim is like an Ayalah, because an ayala has antlers that go out and it gets like bigger and bigger. So to the tzaddikim, you know, as they increase their tefillah dar gets stronger and are more likely to be you know accepted in Shemayim. Yeah, I saw they had them sifted. They quoted somewhere that the ayala, like all the animals, when there's a drought, hang out near the ayala. The ayala takes its antlers and digs a hole. But the basic idea is the same, that it's like stronger and more effective when the antlers grow. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Robert, you're good. Yeah. And David, you're good. And Arthur, you're good. And good. Eddie and Gabriel and Yosef. Okay. So I'm going to move on. Okay.
On the Gemara, I'm just a little lost when we got here. Wait.
How do we get to the Gemara? Wait, say louder, David. I can't hear you. What?
How did we get to this sugya? How did we get to this? These discussions with the ayala here. I forgot how we got here.
Yeah, but we got it today. Because we were talking about remember we said about Rebbe. Remember Rebbe said that the sunlight is diffuse. The sunlight is diffuse. Right. So right. The Gemara brought the pasuk. Lam natseach al yelad shachar to say ma'ya. This is on line 8. Just like the Ayalah, its antlers spread out,
okay.
You know, all directions, sunlight, and then from there, we one thing led to another. Okay, and then that parak is talking was what Chazal teaches was said by Esther. Okay, so I'm going to move on. Everybody good? All right. Okay, so we're 8 lines from the bottom on Chaf Tet Amud Aleph. Okay, 29a, 8 lines from the bottom. Shachatu et ha-tamid. So we said in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah that we had yesterday, but we went over it at the beginning of today's daf, that that once they shechted the tamid and it was too early, and so they had to be mostly the beta strefa. In other words, they shechted it before dawn. So they couldn't use the korban tamid because they were shechting it too early. So Eimat, so when did this incident take place that they shechted the tamid too early? Elim b'shar yom hashana. So if it's days other than Yom Kippur, so lo sagi lav kohen gadol. So did it have to be the kohen gadol? Now the Mishnah said in yesterday's daf, which went over today, the last 3 to 4 lines of the Mishnah say afterwards, harino kohen gadol the beit tefillah. That they brought the Kohen Gadol to Beit HaTefillah, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh because before he does the shechita, he has to go to the mikveh. That's why he goes to the mikveh 10 times on Yom Kippur, and this is the first 10 times. So the Gemara assumes that since it mentions that part with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that the earlier part is also related to that. That's what we assume. So the Gemara asks, does the Kohen Gadol have to do the shechita? That'll be on the Kippurim. So the Gemara says, so the other choice is that all of these events took place on Yom Kippur. So we think the event with the moon, they made a mistake between sunlight and moonlight, that also took place on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Ma'or Lebanah Me'ika. is there a low, in other words, that the moon should be below the horizon, you know, near dawn, you know, would not come out on Yom Kippur, would come out at the end of the month. In other words, when it's like near Rosh Chodesh, that would happen. But it wouldn't happen on it, or wouldn't typically happen on a Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Is meika so haki kamar." The Gemara says, "This is what it means." Uviyom Kippurim ki Amar Barak Bar Koi Haridu Koin Gadol LeBeit Hatfila. So it means in Akinami that the Gemara is saying there were two separate incidents. There was one incident with the moonlight, the sunlight that did not happen on Yom Kippur, and then the Mishnah says that when the Kohen who saw the dawn said, Barak Bar Koi, they brought the Kohen Gadol LeBeit HaTfila. So the answer is that it was two separate events. Right. And the earlier part, not Yom Kippur, that's what we think. Let's take a look at the Rashi. This is six lines from the bottom of the Rashi. Hachi Garstinan of Yom Kippurim, Ki Amar Barak Bar Koi Chulei, in other words, that those lines that they brought the Korban Tamid, the Beta Strepa, to the area where they would, you know, burn the Korbanot that were Psulim, that's Maskana de Meltu. That's the end of a topic. He says, Morita Kohen Gadol, Milta Ba'apenashi. And then this clause that they brought the Kohen Gadol to the Mikvah, that's a different topic. It goes back to the Seder of Yom Kippur. And then there was one thing was an aside. That when the observer, the person who was citing everything saw the dawn, so they would bring the Kohen Gadol the Beit HaTefillah on Yom Kippur. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now let me just pause for something from the Al Hadath. So he says the Gemara notes that the incident cited in the Mishnah, so forth, could not have been occurred on Yom Kippur with the moon because there is no moonlight visible at the eastern horizon before dawn on the 10th of the month. He says, Rashi explains that only towards the end of the lunar month does the moon rise at the end of the night. Rabbi Yochanan adds that on the 10th of the month, Yom Kippur, the moon sets 2 hours before dawn. So that would not work out. Thus, the Gemara concludes that the mistake occurred at the end of a month, not on Yom Kippur. Interestingly, the Rambam writes that though the incident mentioned in the Mishnah did not occur in Yom Kippur, another similar incident did occur in Yom Kippur, whereby the Talmid was mistakenly slaughtered before dawn. So the Rambam says there was another incident where they did slaughter on Yom Kippur before dawn. The Romi Sada wonders, you know, it's interesting, if they're slaughtering before dawn, they're ending up doing a malach on Yom Kippur, because the sheep's only allowed it for the part of the Avoda, and if they're doing it before dawn, that's bad news. So the Romi Sada, that's from the Nitziv, he wonders how the second incident of Yom Kippur occurred. The Mishnah says that as a result of the first incident, the sages instituted Talmid should not be slaughtered immediately after dawn, but only after Ha'ir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, the entire eastern sky lights up. This is the opinion of Masi ben Shmuel in the Mishnah, and it's codified by the Rambam and Halacha. How could it have been nighttime and the entire eastern sky was lit up? So again, so Gemara says that there was an incident where they mistook moonlight. But as a result of that, now they're saying, as a safety measure, so the announcer is going to have to say, Ha'ir Kol HaMizrach. So that we said, why we do that? Because they had this incident. Now, before we checked anything, we're just going to have the whole eastern horizon lit up. So if that's the case, how could there have been another incident? Well, the Rambam says there was another incident that occurred. It sounds like the way he has it here, he says, in the Mishnah, did it not? He takes it that occurred after. So in answer, the Romi Sada explains that sages' enactment delayed the Talmud until the entire eastern sky is lit did not apply to Yom Kippur. Sages allowed the Kohen Gadol to slaughter the Talmud in Yom Kippur immediately after dawn so he would get an early start on the Avoda and not get too hungry and fatigued before completing his duties. Mipnei chush the Kohen Gadol, fear the Kohen Gadol from tiring later in the day, he says, see above Daftaf. Therefore, even if after the enactment, it was still possible to err on Yom Kippur. So they didn't have the safety measure in place for Yom Kippur. The Romi Sada infers from the wording of the Mishnah on Chavtet and the Gemara on Chavtet that when the inspector was sent up to the roof to observe the eastern sky, he's required to respond differently on Yom Kippur than on an ordinary day. Now, you remember, in the Gemara just now, we said, he says that they would say, five lines from the bottom. Yom Kippur in Amar Barak Bar Koi. On Kippur, he said Barak Bar Koi. So he says the Mishnah indicates that on an ordinary day, he simply had to declare Bar Koi, it is dawn. Whereas the Gemara in Chavtet indicates on Yom Kippur, he had to declare Barak Bar Koi, the day has, in other words, Bar Koi means it is dawn. Barak Bar Koi, the day has dawn, which implies a greater sense of certainty than Bar Koi. On Yom Kippur, when the Shemitah was performed immediately after dawn, they required the inspector to be doubly certain that it was indeed after dawn before proceeding with the Shemitah. All right, that's that piece. Everybody good? Okay, let's move on. So we're on Chavtet Amud Aleph, just four lines from the bottom. All right, so Tanya, who is Rabbi Avin? So the father, Rabbi Avin, taught the following braisa. Lo zobu b'amru, in other words, Mishnah taught me that if they shech the korban tamid before dawn, so it has to be go to the Beit HaSreifa. It can't be offered as a korban anymore. So the braisa says, lo zobu b'amru, and it's not only that, ela ach l'lichat ha'of u'kmitza mincha b'layla tisarei. Lichat ha'of is in the base of Mikdash when a bird was offered as a korban, so they didn't do shechita on the bird, they did malicha, the Kohen would take his thumb, press it into the back of the neck of the bird, and kill the bird that way. So it's interesting, it's the type of thing that would otherwise be in a bela, but that's the way to do it in the base of Mikdash. He says, af malicha ha'of, and it's interesting with the malicha, so he says, af malicha ha'of u'kmisat mincha. And then Kmitza Mincha, if they would do Kmitza, the Kohen takes, he puts his hand in the flower and he does Kmitza with his, like, the three fingerfuls. He says, Balayla Tisarev. So if he does either one of those at night, it has to be burnt. And Rashi explains, those are all the legal equivalent of Shechita. Those Malika is the legal equivalent of Shechita. And Kmitza is also the legal equivalent of Shechita, but with the Mincha offering, right? So the Braisa says they all have to be burnt. So if Shechita is done before dawn, the malika is done before dawn, or the kmitz is done before dawn. So everything, so the bird has to be burnt, and the flower also has to be burnt. He said the whole mincha has to be burnt, but not on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "Bishlem olad of my dehava hava." So I understand olad of, it's like water under the bridge. I did malika; it was too early. The bird is dead. That's history. He says, "Ela komets." Turn page on Chavtan of Day's top line. Ela komets nahadra. Why don't we just, I got a simple solution. We took the flower. Let's say I have the flower. Let's take the flower. We'll put it back in. Now everything is good. He says, and then during the day, I'll take a new comet. So I got a great idea. I'll put the flower back and I'll be back in good shape. So that's the question that, so the father Rabbi Avin taught this braisa, and the Gemara had this question. So the Gemara says, "Who Tani Lav, Who Amar Lav." So Avud Rabbi Avin taught the Braisa, and he had an answer to this question. He said, "Klei Sharet Mekanchen Afilush Lebizmano." That when I do the Kmitza, I'm going to put in a Klei Sharet. Now, the items that I'm using for Korbano, they have Kedushas Damim, that they have a Kedush, their value, but they get a Kedushas Aguf when they're put in a Klei Sharet, where they come into contact with the Klei Sharet. So once I put the komets in the Klei Sharet, so now it has a Chalutshem komets, and the other part gets a Chalutshem Shirayim. So once this is the Shirayim, that's the komets, I can't redo anything anymore because it went into a Klei Sharet. So that's water under the bridge in that way as well. So far, so good? Okay. So we said, all right, wait just 1 second. Yosef's okay. Got a question. I'll come to you, David. Okay. And it's nice having you back with us, by the way, David. I know you couldn't come on Shabbos. I hope you're feeling better. Now, it's interesting. My life is surrounded between you and your son.
It's good.
Surrounded by Jacobs. Okay. Now, again, we said that if he does shechita before dawn, so the animal has to go to the Beit HaSreifa. If he does malika, the animal has to also be burnt. If he does kmitza, he also has to be burnt. So the rest is kmitza. Why can't I just undo the kmitza? I'll put the flower back, and then I'll do the kmitza after dawn. So the Gemara says no. The answer that Avud Rabbi Avin said, with kmitza, I'm going to put the kmitza in a Klei Sharet. Once I put it in the Klei Sharet, it gets a kedushas aguf, and it gets the status of kmitza, and the other gets the status of Shirayim, and then I can't undo it anymore. That's what he's saying. Okay, what do you want to say, David? David?
Shechita, a non-Kohen can do, but Malika and Kmitza can only be a Kohen, right?
Correct.
even though they're analogous, right? You said shechita is analogous.
Right. Shechita Chazal is specifically meant for, but the other one's not. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go further. All right. So now this topic that we just brought up is going to carry us through most of the Amud. Now, Meitei, on this, we ask Akasha against the Hezber that Abu Rabbi Avin gave. So we're asking now from a Braisa. The Braisa says, and welcome to Fern. Where's Fern? Fern, welcome. We're on Chaf Ten Amud Beis, a few lines from the top, Fern. Nice to have you. All right. So we said, the Braisa says, Zahakfal kula karei bayom kadosh bayom. That anything that's offered during the day, and Rashi says, like Menacho, Lavona, Dam, and Ketoret, so they get their Kedusha during the day, meaning they're placed in a Kli Sharei, so they get Kedusha, they go. So it's offered during the day on the Mizbeach, so then once they're put in a Kli Sharei during the day, they get Kedusha, they go. V'chol Akarei Balayla, Kadosh Balayla. And anything that's offered at night is Kadosh Balayla. So Kari Balayla, Rashi says, like Minchat Nesachim. Minchat Nesachim is, remember, for the Korban al Tzibur, they have Minchat HaMizkehem, the meal offering, which is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, no Kmitza, and the Nesachim are with the wine, which is also poured on the Mizbeach. So those can even be brought afterwards and can even be brought at night. So he's saying, V'chol Kari Balayla Kadosh Balayla. It could also be the Kuf Balayla. Anything that's offered by day or by night become kadosh between the day and the night. There's a question around the gears, because I want to say that the line four is really when it's the belayla, it's only belayla, it's supposed to be by day. But naniach, though, katani miyad, at the end of the day, we learn in the braisa, kula karei bayom kadosh bayom, that if something which is offered must be offered by the day, so it only gets its kadoshes a guf by day. So we were talking about a mencha that I'm doing kmitza with. Mincha I'm doing kmitza with has to be, you know, offered by day. So it only gets kedusha guf by day. So it only gets kedusha guf by day that shoots holes through the pshat that Rabbi Avin said. Rabbi Avin said, yeah, I did the kmitza with the mincha before dawn. So why can't I redo it? Because it got kedusha guf from being in a klishare. But here we're saying if it has to be offered during the day, it doesn't get kedusha guf. So by yomin belayla lo. So that it's only by the day that it gets kedusha guf, not by night. So the Gemara says, Dilma, eno kadosh likare, v'lo kadosh lipasel. Perhaps what the Braitha means is, it gets a kedusha, it doesn't get kedusha that it can be offered on the Mizbeach, that it does not get, but it is effective that it's kadosh lipasel. It is, in other words, it gets the worst of all possible worlds. It gets up to a level of kedusha the guf, that it makes it subject to those psulim that would be shayach if it has kedusha the guf. What are those psulim? So Rashi brings down, he says, let's say a tful yom would touch it, or it's psul yotzev, it's taken outside the Beis HaMikdash, or lina, and this is one we're talking about, lina, so by having that, offering it, I can't offer it till the next morning, so it's a psul lina, so in Akinami, our pshat would still go strong. So again, so we're saying that when we put it in the kli, it gets a kedusha, it doesn't get complete kedusha like to offer on the Mizbeach, but it does get the kedusha, we think, for the world of psulim. It gets kedushas a guf just for the dinim, for the psulim, but not for the din to be offered on the mizbeach. That's what the Gemara thinks right now. No. We said already. In other words, now. That's not what we're saying. We're saying it does get the din of kedushas a guf for the negatives. For the negatives, it gets kedushas a guf, but it doesn't get the positive to be able to offer on the mizbeach. But it does get the kedushas a guf for all the negatives. It gets a certain dinim, it gets. So it gets a dinim of kedusha guf that it has psulina, psulyotze, and the psulyom touches it, and it's also would become tame. So it's, those things are negative. So that's what we think the pshat is. That's what we think. Okay? So moving on. So now, Mati Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira opposed the kasha from the following Mishnah in Masechet Menachot. It says, Sidir alechem mirba zichem. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, we set up the Lechem HaPanim, or the Konim set up the Lechem HaPanim, on Shabbat. That's when the Mishnah wrote, remember, would change on Shabbat, and they go in and divide up the Lechem HaPanim. So, let's say a Kohen arranged Lechem HaPanim after Shabbos was over. Maybe Motzei Shabbat, or whatever it was, he arranged the Lechem HaPanim, and he arranged the Bazichim. The Bazichim are these two ladles with Lavona, with frankincense. He says, "V'hiktir the bazichim b'Shabbat," and then on the following Shabbos, which is 6 days later, if he does it on Motzei Shabbat, it's like he did it on Sunday. So he's supposed to set everything up on Shabbos, and then the following Shabbos will offer the Bazichim, and then that's Matir, the Lechem upon him. That's the way it should work. Instead, he set it up on Motzei Shabbos, which is like setting it up on Sunday, and then the following Shabbos, he offers the Bazichim. Sula. So the Mishnah says that Lechem is Pasol. Ketzan Yaseh, what should he do? He should leave it over one more week. In other words, Mishnah is saying he should leave it there like close to 2 weeks. In other words, Lechem upon him has to be on the Shulchan for 7 days. And it has to, the Bazichim have to be offered on Shabbat. So he should let it stay there, let's say, for 13 days. He says, Shafilu amdal Shulchan yamim rabi yamim kaklum. Even if it stays more than 7 days, Nishka Ferlach, as we would say in Farsi, so it's okay. Minimum 7 days, that's what we think. So that's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara asks, "V'amai, why is that okay?" We're asking Kasha on the Mishnah, based on the principles that we set forth before by Rabbi Avin. Why is it okay to leave lechem upon him on this shulchan, you know, for so many days? Tiktosh v'tifasel. Why don't we say that once it's that the shulchan will give it its kedusha? Now, there's different ways to learn this, when at which point it becomes pasul, but I think the easiest way is on the eighth day, it should be pasul. In other words, if I don't offer something within its proper time, that's psolina, I left it beyond its time. So on the eighth day, what do you mean you leave it there as long as you want? On the eighth day, it should be psolina. I left it there too long. And what do you mean I could leave it there forever? In other words, it got kedusha, it's kedusha from the shulchan, and Mela, now on the eighth day, I didn't bring it. So if what you said is correct earlier, that the place shari are mikdash, what's placed in it, and even if it was placed at night or whatever, so Mela gets the kedusha, so it should be subject to psolina. So Amarava. So Rava says manda kamotiv shabik kamotiv. This is that's a good kasha. He says Vavuz Rabbi Avin nami mani to kamar, but the father Rabbi Avin wasn't saying his own svari, he quoted brisa. So again, so I have what the brisa says. That the kmitza has to be burnt. So we know that when I did the kmitza before dawn, that something happens with this that makes it, according to the time of the brisa, that I have to be able to burn it. And the only pshat that we had is that it got a kedusha to go. That's the only pshat that we said that would work. But on the other hand, I have the Mishnah Masechet Menachot says that I can leave lechem upon him. It sounds like on the shulchan, like ad infinitum, and I'm good to go. And we don't say there's a psalina with that. So he says, so I'm a Rav Manda Kamotiv Shapa Kamotiv, Avud Rabbi Avin Nami Matnita Kamar. He says, Braisa. So the Gemara says, Viksavar Laila in the Chuser's Man. So he says, to explain the stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah, is the Tana of the first Braisa holds, Laila is in the Chuser's Man. If I do something the night before and it should be done the next day, so that's not called the Chuser's Man. In other words, that's within the time. So Mela, that is subject to Psolina. So if I put, in other words, if I had the comets before dawn and I was supposed to bring the comets that next morning, so that is Stulina. In other words, that's within the time period that it should be done, or close enough to the time period that it should be done, to say that I have a psal. He says, Laila Mechusar Zman, Yom Mechusar Zman. When I do something before the day has even arrived that I should do it, that's not called Mechusar Zman. That's like out of the ballpark. In other words, not even in the ballpark. It's not. That's not called Mechusar Zman. So the Gemara says, okay, but kimati beishimshay tiktosh v'tifsol. So when Friday night, I have lechem upon him, it's on the shulchan. So now, when Friday night rolls around, so now is this time, the next morning, when it should be placed on the shulchan, and I placed it on the shulchan on Friday night, so now it's in the wrong zman. Right, he said 2 days, but it's too many days ahead of time, so it's not going to come to the psal. When you get close to the time, it's subject to psalina. But the Gemara says, okay, so I put lechem upon him on the shulchan too early. But when Friday night comes around, leave it on the shulchan, now Friday night comes, so now by morning it should be pasul. It got kedushas from the shulchan, and now it's psalina, it's the wrong time. So Amar Avina, Shikata Basilko. So Avina says, the Mishnah is talking about that he left it on the shulchan, and then before Friday night, he removes the lechem upon him. Mar Zutra v'itemer v'ashi amar, Rabashi says you could even say that he didn't remove the lechem. Since he set it up so much earlier he says, Naaseh kemo shesidro akol. It's like a monkey set it up. Meaning, by setting up the lechem so much earlier, it's like an inadvertent arrangement of the lechem. In other words, it's like I didn't know what I was doing with this. That's not called sidur lechem apanim. But if I'm close enough to the time when I set it up, then it's subject to all the time limitations and the psul. So in the end, the Gemara says that with the komets, by doing the komets before dawn, that's close to the day when it has to be done, so then it's subject to psulina at dawn. But with the lechem upon him, when I set up the lechem upon him, like 6 days before it should be, it's like it's not even like setting it up. It's like a monkey set it up. Okay, let me just pause and take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we have to move on. Any questions, comments, and thoughts? All right, Michael, you good? Everybody good? Okay. All right, now we have an easier piece of Gemara. Okay, and then this will be it. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, we're three lines from the bottom. Zah klal hayav mikdash. So this is going back to the... we said at the end, at the tail end of the Mishnah that you did yesterday, we begin it in today's daf, we said that in the base of Mikdash, if a Kohen had a bowel movement, he had to immerse himself in the mikvah. If he passed water, he had to do kiddush yadayim raglayim. He had to wash his hands and his feet. So he says, Zaklal yivim mikdash, b'shleim raglayim yishim nitzotot. So I understand he's got to wash his feet because there might be droplets of urine that you know, splattered there. Ela yadayim maitama. Why does he have to do kiddush yadayim with the labor when he urinates? So Amar Rabbi Abba Zoro Meret mitzvah the shafshei. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says this from the Mishnah one can extrapolate that there's a mitzvah the shafshei means there's a mitzvah the person to like rub the urine off of himself. So Mela his hands are going to touch the urine. So the Gemara says misayle the Rabbi Yami. This supports Rabbi Yami. This is the top line on Laman Amar Aleph. Misayle the Rabbi Yami. So Amar Rabbi Yami asudam should say b'di totso shal gavir raglav. Rabbi Yami says that a person is not allowed to walk out of the bathroom with droplets of urine on his feet. The kut shavcha is a person whose aver is lacerated. So he's not allowed to come to kahal. You don't have to marry a person like that. He could marry giyoreh, but otherwise he can't marry. And Chazal teach us that he's not fertile. So if he's going to walk out and he's going to have all these nitzotot. In other words, when the kut shavcha goes to urinate, he can't like shoot it off in a stream. So if they see like droplets of urine on his feet, they'll think he's a kut shavcha, and they'll say, he says umotzi lazal banav sheinam zeirin. They'll say that his kids, he's married. They'll say his kids aren't really his kids. The wife must have had an affair with somebody else, and the kids are not really his children, and they're mamzerim. That's what they'll say. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's that piece. That's that piece. Okay, now, let me just do a story, and then that will be it for today. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did? Okay, let me do a story, and then we'll talk. All right. Yeah, you're right about that. So let's take a look and see what Rashi says. I assume... I don't want to get to so much details. You know, maybe we'll talk after the Zoom about that. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look. So the Gemara says here who are avera kashu me avera. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin itself. He quotes here from the Aladah. The Torah's Avos explains that thoughts refer to the character defects that are the growth medium in which sin propagates. What makes those defects worse is that they also provide the mechanism by which we rationalize that the sins are actually mitzvahs. And if we feel that a sin was justified and that it was a mitzvah, how can we possibly repent for it? You want to say here, Hurei Avera is like a person's thoughts are for crumb. He's thinking his Avera is a mitzvah. Even Yom Kippur cannot atone for sins which we don't admit that we don't regret. Then he tells the story, the author of the Tumim, I think it's from Jonas and Ibeshutz, he was in a certain city on Yom Kippur, seated by the Mizrachban, by the eastern wall, next to a prominent resident. The neighbor was busy praying with Menas Kavana, and he was especially focusing on the words, I'm dirt, I'm dust in this life, and Kavachomri after death, I'm nothing. He repeated the phrase over and over and wept over each word, long after everyone had finished their prayers. When he finally finished, the gabbai notified him that he was to receive a certain aliyah. So the Rabbi says, okay, you know, I don't know, you have Ravi. The prominent man responded as passionately as he prayed, but quite a bit louder. Are you Meshuggah? How can you give me an aliyah that isn't Shlishi or Shishi? The Tumim couldn't restrain himself. Just this very moment, you were crying intensely that you're nothing but dust. How can you possibly argue with the Gabbai for not honoring your
distinction? Not against that guy.
Okay. His disgruntled neighbor defended himself. True, I cried about the fact that I'm dust before Hashem. What does it have to do with how I speak to the Gabbai? Just because I'm dust doesn't mean that he doesn't have to give me Shlishi. And he says, what a chutzpah. Afterwards, the Tumim remarked, you see how it is possible to cry intensely for a long time that one is just dust, not believe it for a single moment. Okay, so now let me end the recording, and then I will talk to everybody for 1 minute. We'll see what we'll do. 1 second.